Are you ready? Are your pants on?
Just a couple of superstars hanging out in the men's room.
Oh. Hey, this is Tom.
That guy's attractive, Doug.
Remember that first time you Robin-fed your boo? Warm meat and breath you chewing fill the air. The brisket sweats wash over you both, while that sticky sweet sauce binds your taut, rewarding bodies.
It make my ass chesty.
Love yourself. Love me. Love Salt and Smoke.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Chris Stapleton, Doug. He'll be at Lou Fest. Our partnership with Lou Fest, presented by the Independent Tire Dealers, online at itdroll.com, 877-itdroll.com. Lou Fest, get your tickets through InsideSTL.com. Use the promo code FREEDOTEM. The Inside STL experience includes dedicated bathrooms, a lounge area with outdoor TVs, streaming the show and sporting events, a private cash bar, yard games. We'll be hanging out there. Hang out with us September 10th and 11th at Lou Fest. Inside STL experience at Lou Fest, made possible by the Independent Tire Dealers, your hometown tire team at itdroll.com. Over 50 locations in the St. Louis area and over 20 brands to choose from featuring Kumho tires. Email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. And coming up this weekend, Cardinals and Phillies. Derek Gould is going to join us coming up in a matter of moments. He is presented by Hot Shots with our Cardinal Report. Hot Shots, where we will be doing TMA Live tonight. Charlie Marlowe, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn, Larry Nickel, Timberfake, myself, maybe Tony Lee, maybe Beavis. Mm-hmm. That is coming your way tonight at 6:30. We'll be giving away those sexy coffee mugs to the first 25 people in attendance. It's the Hot Shots Cardinal Report. It's the Hot Shots Cardinal Report.
All right, hit the lever.
And joining us right now is Derek Gould.
There it is.
This Cardinal Report is brought to you by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Bring your Cardinals ticket stub to any of the 12 area Hot Shots locations the day after a home victory and get 25% off any menu item.
The big man will score!
Plus, if you swipe your Hot Shots MVP card, you'll be entered in their first pitch sweepstakes for a chance to throw out the first pitch at an upcoming Cardinals game.
And joining us right now to talk it over is the Cardinals have the day off, but have won four straight, ladies and gentlemen. Derek Gould with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Good morning, Derek.
Hello, Gouldsy.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Mr. Vaughn.
Derek, the Cardinals are coming tra-la-tra-la?
Mm-hmm. Nice question. Nice opening question.
You like that? Indeed, indeed. That's the way I really like it. Yesterday, Carlos Martinez, but there's a backstory to it, and you covered it this morning in the Post-Dispatch. For those who didn't get a chance to read it, there was a little conversation between the Cardinal manager and Carlos Martinez after a rough start against the Braves. Or was it against the Cubs? Was it only against the Cubs?
Against Cubs.
Cubs, all right, sorry.
Yeah, it was at the start of the Wrigley thing where, in one inning, remember there was a play at the plate and Carlos was just standing there and took the ball in frustration. Then the next play was a ground ball that he could have fielded or that he did field, but instead of setting his feet and throwing out the slow runner, he sort of had an off-balance, fall-away, fade-away throw that went wild. He brought it on himself, and that was a loss, you know, because of his decisions. And the reasons for those decisions, when we asked him and asked Matheny, they said were simply frustration. I think you guys will remember that. Chris Coughlin had a key hit in that, but it was after he tried to call time, and so he tried to call time. Martinez saw that he was trying to call time in the middle of his windup. The umpire didn't give time, so Martinez continued with the pitch. And Coughlin stepped back in the box and sort of fisted the two-run single, I think it was, to right field. So, he that kind of built up this frustration for Martinez, and then the whole inning went awry. And they talked, and actually several folks talked with him, Wainwright, Lilliquist, all these guys talked to him about, hey, look, you know, that they like wanted to focus on the positives of that game, the stuff he had, the control he had, how every other inning went well for him. And they said, now, you know, that's a win for him and a win for the team if all the other things are taken care of, if the little things, that's what Matheny kept referring to him as, if the little things are maintained. And, you know, that means kind of maintaining focus from inning to inning and pitch to pitch and play to play. And yesterday, man, he was, I mean, he was smooth. He pitched at a different pace. You know, you guys, we didn't see a, you know, he averages, I think it's about 95, 95.7 on his fastball here. He didn't see a pitch that fast until his 13th pitch of the second inning. He pitched at a lower speed with his sinker, got more movement on it. He used the aggressiveness against the Astros against them. Molina told me that he, you know, he put down the call for the sinker. And then in comes this 91-92 thing. So Carlos kind of did this on his own and really, you know, stuck to an approach that he wanted to try where he had more command. He still had 98 if he wanted to go and reach back for it, but, you know, he's got a no-hitter going through five and didn't. So, I mean, it just was a very impressive, very steady, very composed, just a remarkable outing by him.
I have seen, as you have, some great performances. Hey, hi, Derek.
Good to hear that you made your plane.
Yeah, I did. I had to rush out of there.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you.
I'm happy to be home. Thank you for that. But we've seen great outings by Martinez before. I just can't remember one where it looked like he barely broke a sweat while being that effective. I mean, he was just, you know, we laugh at the term free and easy. But that describes the way he looked. It was almost like he was toying with them.
Yeah, and the guys, his teammates afterwards that I talked to, one of the things that they said, and I thought you asked a good question there, Matheny, after the game about that, where, you know, just how consistent he looked and how that allowed him to be very, you know, just in control of himself. And one of the first thing that a couple of his teammates, so when I asked about what did you make of that game, they mentioned his mechanics and his delivery and how it was the same every time and how it wasn't max effort and how he didn't feel like he had to blowtorch a fastball through Molina's glove or overwhelm a hitter. It's just that he could rely on his stuff. And, you know, Adam Wainwright told me that, you know, you see in Carlos a guy who maybe is learning the velocity that he can pitch at to get quick outs and to get, you know, through innings, and then the velocity he can go to later to just, you know, mow down guys, just to go through them with, you know, with the 98 and the sinker and the power that he has. So, they all mentioned that all comes from, I think, what you're describing, that free and easy mechanics where it every single throw looked the same. Every single thing had the same rhythm. There was not a moment where you thought, man, this guy is really pressing and grinding through this. Like, say, Jaime the day before where, you know, he was feeling off and he had to really peel back and slow himself down. I mean, you look at that, what was it, an 8-9 pitch at bat there against Correa, and Jaime had to stop, get the rosin bag, set himself. Stop, get the rosin bag, set himself. And he had to find a routine and a way to slow the game down away from his mechanics because he felt like everything was speeding up once he lifted his leg to go make the throw.
They got Wainwright pitching Friday night. It'll be interesting to see if he can bounce back because they're certainly going to need him down the stretch. What do you think he needs to do to get back on track?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think he needs to maybe. I think part of the
Oh, are we losing him?
Yeah, I think we've lost and call him back. That was probably your bad.
You think I tripped over a cord or something?
I think you were going after Derek there, and I think you might have hung up.
Well, I don't think I went after Derek. I asked him about Wainwright.
That was a bad start for Waino. Talking to him after the game, I don't recall seeing him that down after a start. And he said he was terrible. He let his teammates down. He usually doesn't he usually tries to weave in something positive. He didn't have much of the positive stuff. Let's bring back Derek Gould to the Post-Dispatch. Derek, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, there you are. Gentlemen.
Yeah, that was Doug's fault. He hit the wrong button.
I didn't any buttons.
You were talking about Waino.
Yeah, I think some of it is just that his pitches are misbehaving. You know, they're not doing the things that he's used to. And, you follow that thread back to, his delivery. And just there are times where he's just fought it this season. Well, it hasn't been as consistent he'd like. You know, he had to try to tinker with it while he was building leg strength so that it could be more consistent and his accuracy wasn't off. So I think this has just been a season where he's had to still overcome some of the residual effects of that Achilles rupture that he had a year ago and what that did to his base, what that did to his leg strength, what that did to some of the things that are so essential and basic for a pitcher. I think, when you look at some of the things that he's done this year too, he hasn't always had his finest curveball, and that's such a big part of his game. If a team can ignore, if a hitter can ignore that and wait for a cutter or wait for the cutter to go to a bad spot, then he's going to get hit. And so I think there's a little bit of a mix of things that he has to work on, but they all kind of relate to or go back to the actually what Kat described that Martinez had yesterday. You know, the kind of repeatable, comfortable, reliable mechanics that he can trust, along with the timing, and that's a big thing for Wainwright, the timing.
You know, early on, as you referenced, he said the Achilles, it was healed and everything, but the muscles around it hadn't
right.
strengthened us, so he had to work on that. He didn't say much in the early going, but that's what he battled through, and he said, I will be good again. And then he was, and he had a good stretch where he looked like the Wainwright of old. I think the fact that, he's kind of slipped back into some bad things with his mechanics kind of came out of nowhere for him, because you talked to him after his last start, too. Usually he tries to weave in some positive message out of it, and he was clearly down, and that's out of character for Waino.
He called it the worst season of his career, terrible, embarrassed. I think some of that had to do with how he pitched, but the significant part of that had to do with where it happened. You know, at Wrigley, against the Cubs, Cardinals trying to make a statement. I think that frustrated him as much as anything, and maybe brought out what you're talking about. In the days following it, he was more positive about the direction he was headed. But that's a very keen point that Kat makes there. There was nothing that he was trying to polish about that game that he had last week. He was blunt in his assessment of both the results, but also his role in it.
Well, that was one of the worst games they've had all year when they lost 13-2. But since then, they've won them all. They've scored eight runs, six runs, eight runs, eight runs, scoring lots of runs. It feels like they've got the back end of the bullpen worked out now. If the starting pitching is just a little bit better, cause they're coming up now on series against the Phillies, Mets, Oakland, Milwaukee, Cincinnati. They're primed to make a big run right now.
Yes, sir. And I would add to that, and Kat, I'd like your opinion on this. I don't think we've seen them play better defense than we have in the past 4 days.
I agree with that. I agree with
that. I don't think this team has played this well defensively all year. Johnny Peralta in Chicago had a tremendous game. That game at third was fantastic. And Jed Jerko has brought some consistency to whatever position he's playing. He's been good. I think the commitment to Greg Garcia at shortstop has allowed him to get in a rhythm. And I don't think you can dismiss that. Yes, they've been the Matheny wall bangers here for a while. They are just, they set a record yesterday with their eighth consecutive game with at least two home runs. They're on pace, guys, to hit more home runs than any Cardinals team except for the 2000 team, I think it is. So that means that they would surpass the 1998 team, which had a head start because that guy McGuire hit 70. They got 10 guys with at least 9 home runs. So you could finish the season with a whole lineup plus one of guys who hit 10-plus home runs. The home runs have been there. That's been a consistency. But, you know, they've undermined their starting pitching. You mentioned that starting pitching has to be better, and it does. But for starting pitcher to be better, they have to stop having those starters get four outs, five outs an inning. They have to help them out. And in the past four games, we have seen a defense that helps their starters out. Mike Leake retired 16 in a row the other day, and that's the reason why is because, you know, it's partly how he pitched, but it's also how the defense played behind him.
Part of the problem is every time you expect the Cardinals to go on a run, it looks like this is the time they put together a run. They don't. Mm-hmm. The other side of the coin is when you think, okay, that's it, they're cashing in their chips, they don't. So you just never know. Hopefully they can go and take advantage of a Philadelphia team that isn't very good in Philadelphia. My question is, because Doug mentioned the bullpen, and
I agree. Peter Borges is going to hit 800, right, this weekend?
I like Peter Borges, but I'd like to see if he does get on base, the sliding past the bag at second. Some of the stuff we saw in St. Louis would certainly help the Cardinal cause. But when you look at the bullpen, and Kevin Segrist is such a big part of it, you know, I'm looking for red flags. And, you know, early on he described his arm as sort of a dead arm thing, and then later it's tightness around the shoulder. Said he was going to get a couple of days off, which he did, and that he didn't think it was going to be a long-term thing. However, he has had, you know, injuries and weird physical maladies in the past. I'm hoping that this, because he's a key piece, I'm hoping he's right that a couple of days rest will fix him up. Will it, do you think?
Yeah, he played catch and said he felt the life back in his arm. So that's the only thing we have going for, you know, us as far as an example or an explanation. It's a lot like what the Cardinals get. I mean, you can only – what did Matheny say? You can't crawl inside a guy's body to figure out how he feels. I mean, that's also true for a reporter. I talked to Seegers for a while about, you know, how it felt. Did he have that kind of snap, that life in his arm? He did as he played catch. Now, as he revs it up and tries to go into a game, will it maintain? We know examples on both sides. You and I both talk to guys who have a hard time when those nerves are choked, and they can go and play catch. They go and get into a game, and the arm just doesn't respond as well. Isn't as strong as it needs to be. The nerves just are kind of clouded or pinched off, and he has had that problem before. Not too long ago, he had to do the tunneling to kind of help with the health of his arm and help get the nerves firing again and bring back that kind of snap to his arm. So, yeah, I think history is a concern here. That's a good thing to bring up. But based on what he said, because of the rest, and, you know, you trust him because he's gone through this before, he felt better throwing the other day, and Matheny explained to us that he had decided that that Seegers would be off limits for the 2 days so they could get him the 4 days without putting him on the DL or having to make a move so that he'd be ready and available Friday.
Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, talking over Cardinals and Phillies tomorrow in Philadelphia. Adam Wainwright attempting to get back on track. Derek, we appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you, Gould.
Gould with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. DraftKings, football is your passion. You know all the players and teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in this week one contest. DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Renew old rivalries by challenging friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM. Or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use code 920 and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code 920 to play free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for complete details. Your thoughts on what Derek Gould had to say?
You know what? Well, I have some thoughts on DraftKings. You know what I do with a player that I don't like? I cut him. I cut him with a Wusthof knife. A Wusthof knife I purchased at Bertarelli Cutlery, Jackie Papers.
Nice.
Chop, chop, cheeky, Bertarelli Cutlery.
You're wonderful.
They sell fine equipment for the domestic and professional kitchen, all your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, gizmos, for the names you love and trust. These are quality products. Quality products at quality prices. Right there on the hill is where they are. Wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and so much more. And they service all major brands of food prep equipment. No business too small, no business too big for the family service of Bertarelli Cutlery. Chop Chop Cheeky is about all I have to say about it. Mention us, mention this show, and receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's Bertarelli
Cutlery.
$5. $5 Marconi on the hill.
You know why you're good? Let me tell you why you're good, Doug.
Why?
Because you're a humble guy. Because you did that spot so well that I feel like if I don't have a Wusthof knife, I'm not a man.
You're missing out.
I'm going to have
what
to go
you
get
cut
one.
With? What in the world do you cut with?
Whatever's in the drawer. How but you know what I need? I need a Wusthof knife, Chop Chop Cheeky. I'm going to Bertarelli.
Yeah. Just walk in the door and say, hello, Bertarelli's, Chop Chop Cheeky, and they'll take care of everything you
this
need.
This guy's good. Tim, this guy's pretty
good.
He's
very, very good. You're welcome to get involved in the program, 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. That's how you can call in on the appliance discounter phone lines. It's how you can text in as well, 314-880-0808. And, of course, you're welcome to email in for our email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, and join us live tonight. Hot shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. Doug, the people on the east side said, we want you guys to come to our fair city. And we said, yeah.
Now, what bridge are you going to take over there? What bridge?
I'm going to take Lloyd Bridges.
Lloyd, you'll take the Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should take the Stan Span or the Poplar Street Bridge.
I don't think I've ever been on the Stan Span.
You haven't? I don't know. I guess I'll go Poplar.
I think I'm going Poplar, too. I think I'm going Poplar, too.
I just asked Siri, and she takes me there.
Anheuser-Busch presents Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I would imagine a number of our listeners will enjoy a libation this evening. Doug, do you like a cool libation?
I like a Bud Light libation.
There you go. That's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tees Farms is the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And if you're in the market for some shrubs, make sure that you're going to Tees Farms. They are the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. But they have much more, including homegrown produce like sweet corn, tomatoes, and peaches. Plus, Tees Farms has the best selection of plants and flowers. Also, get your local Missouri honey at Tees Farm. Tees Farm and Greenhouses with three locations at North Hanley, Maryland Heights, and St. Charles. Tees Farms, a sponsor of our Captain's Log. And on the Captain's Log today, joined by Joe Theismann and Derek Gould, Cardinals off today. They are surging, but the Pirates, who I had just completely begun to ignore.
Well, they were sellers, Tim.
Liriano and Melanson, and they are now just a game back of the Cardinals. They have won four in a row as well, seven of their last 10. Meanwhile, the Marlins are struggling. And the Cincinnati Reds, Doug, they're world beaters.
Those Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug, sometimes, a team goes into seller mode, and then the young guys get what I like to call, not playing time. I call it an opportunity to be the best they can be.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the team goes on a little run.
Well, they're all major league players.
Every one of them. They on scholarship?
The hell, they's on scholarship too.
Top two teams in the American League, the Sox and the Orioles. They got quite a situation going on over there in the American League East. And then the Cardinals are now trailing the Giants by only two. It's the Giants as the Dodgers, despite no Clayton Kershaw, have been able to pass the Giants. How about that? The
Giants have kind of tanked.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. They have lost four in a row, 7 of 10. And the Cardinals are two back of them. The Marlins sans Stanton. I wonder how legitimate they are. And then the Mets just are kind of flopping around. So when you look at who's in the mix and what their situations are, Pirates without Melanson, Pirates without Liriano, and then the Marlins without Stanton, and the Mets have dealt with all kinds of injuries, Cespedes on the DL, the Cardinals are in a pretty nice position. And then the schedule, it's a lot of National League Central dip crappery in the latter portion of this month in September.
And a lot of road games where they play well.
And then when they play the Cubs, they do play them, two more times. One's in St. Louis, but one's at the end. And I would imagine, I don't know, I guess the Cubs could be playing for the number one record overall, and Madden might do things a little differently. The Cubs have a pretty comfortable lead on the next best team in the National League. They're six up on the Nationals. So you could have a situation if the Cardinals can catch the Giants that once again the Cardinals and Giants could have a game here in St. Louis, a game this time, one game, game one. But they played them in St. Louis in 14 and 12 in 2002, 87. Mm-hmm. Hackman, One Flap Down, Hum Baby.
Okay.
Jeffrey Leonard, Chili Davis, Cowtown, Cowbells, Atlee Hammaker. Hello.
Okay, you're going to name every guy on the squad?
I haven't named Rick Rushel yet, have I?
Don't Stop Believing stuff that they play in.
I got it.
San Francisco with the guy from Journey. Please.
You had enough of him.
I've had more than enough of him.
You know, we've had a lot of trips out there, and they haven't gone real well since 87.
No. And it's always that guy. There he is in the crowd.
Doug, you don't want to meet the Giants in an even year.
No, I wouldn't think you would. You know, we're all happy that the Stanton's not with the Marlins anymore, and I'm sure these guys look at the Cardinals and say, oh, good. They don't have Matt Adams. They don't have Diaz. They don't have Holiday. They don't have Lyons. They don't have Maness. They don't have Rosenthal. They don't have Walker. They're all out hurt. And yet, as soon as all those guys go out, the Cardinals start to catch fire.
Guess what? Hard to explain. Guess what? Next man up.
Yeah. And Stanton's kind of a lot better than all of those guys.
If those guys were a big part of the Cardinals.
Might have been a big part of the reason why they were flopping around.
Aledmys Diaz is a whole lot better player than Giancarlo Stanton this year.
Aledmys Diaz, I will concede. The rest, you know.
Well, the rest of the guys were huge parts of this club going into the season and have been in the past. And if you had looked at that DL list earlier in the season, you'd say, well, this team is toast. They have no hope.
Speaks to what I like to call depth.
Nice. Yeah.
Doug, that's players that back up
the starters. I know what depth is.
Well, ring the bell.
Hell, they's on scholarship, too.
Nice.
And how do you explain this home run thing that the Cardinals are on?
Boy, I'm telling you.
How do you explain that?
I have to say that I specifically recall sitting at our wonderful picnic bench, Doug, and hearing totally separate interviews, John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt, and the thing that I couldn't have been more confused by this offseason is how they did not address the offense. And signing Hayward wouldn't have been really addressing the offense. But that their focal point was David Price. And both Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak. Now, this is before the fact. It's wonderful to give hot takes after the fact. I mean, you got to really have great judgment to be able to look at what happened and then give a take on it. But you get paid big money to make a judgment before things play out. And both of them, to their credit, because I certainly did not see this coming at all, said they believe the team's going to hit. Brandon Moss was the guy that Mozeliak was really high on.
Was pushing.
But they were focused on David Price. They weren't focused on... Now, it might have been because they didn't view, and they clearly didn't, because once Hayward didn't come here, it's not like they then pivoted to Cespedes or Upton. But they were content with the offense. And you know what? They were right. Because I thought, what in the hell is going to be... What's going to be better about this offense than last year that's going to make a substantial difference? Yes, Stephen Piscotty all year, I understand. But the whole package, it's essentially the same thing, minus Jason Hayward. And it's not like Hayward was some big offensive force. But the team was focused on going out and getting starting pitching, which was really surprising to me. And if you look at things, it's been the starting pitching that's been rather inconsistent. And the offense has put up huge numbers.
And in spite of two guys that were a huge part of what they were hoping would lead to this offensive renaissance, Randall Grichuk hasn't played as well as they would have hoped. He's been up and down. Same thing with Colton Wong, a guy they invested in quite handsomely. He hasn't got it going offensively. You had Matt Holiday, who before he got hurt, had some power numbers, but the batting average was very low. So those are three guys that they were counting on. And even in spite of the fact that those guys didn't have huge seasons or haven't to this point, they've been great. And guys like Brandon Moss have stepped up.
Yeah, and they've got some contributions from the Tommy Pham's and the Jeremy Hazelbakers, mm-hmm. who kind of came out of nowhere. And Jerko's been a huge, plus.
That's been something.
He can play everywhere, and is going to be a 20 home run guy. Guys that you didn't really count on have really stepped up.
And Jerko, I think he's averaging a home run per one home run for 14.1 at bats, which is among baseball's leaders.
Yeah, I mean, Babe Ruth was like 12 or 13.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know what the plan would be for him next year. I don't know that you can just say, well, he's going to be our super sub if he's one of the best hitters you have on the infield. It'll be interesting to see what they do with old Jed next year.
Wow.
Now send it back to the
studio. Would he be your is he going to be your second baseman?
I don't know.
Third baseman. I don't know if he hits like this. I just don't know how often you can put him on the bench.
I also don't know what the future holds for you know, for their plans. Obviously, after we see how this season unfolds, we'll think about next year and find out a little bit more about how they plan to make alterations or renovations of the team.
Well, that'll be interesting to see.
I wonder how it will all shake out.
Article on ESPN.com that this bit of a break in the schedule with off day on this past Monday and now today should help the Cardinals lock up the wild card. And it details what Stephen Piscotty said, which I think is healthy. And it's kind of rare for a younger guy to say it, but I think it shows that he's a respected guy. I mean, he's obviously incredibly bright. And he said, we kind of know what our role is here going forward. We're fighting for the wild card spot. And the author, Mark Saxon, asked him, he said, you know, it's kind of rare for people to talk about it. And he said, I think it's just being realistic with what time we have left. The way the wild card is, too, it's not like you're watching one team. It's three or four teams. So it's almost nice because it's something that's hard to follow and worry about. You just go out and you try and win. But the Cardinals at this point are less than 1% to win the Central. So, you know, I mean, I think I don't know what fan at this point is monitoring the Cubs. You really would be, if the Cubs are playing the Marlins, the Cubs are playing the Pirates, and they will be playing them quite a bit over the next 45 some odd days. You want the Cubs to win. It's a weird spot to be in for a Cardinal fan. Cherishes the rivalry, but that's in the best interest of the Cardinals for the Cubs to beat these teams, whoever they might be. It might not even wind up being a sweat. You know, it's not like you go, well, these Pirates, they have been winning, but do people really look at them as a major force?
I think you have to. I think you have to. The Cardinals.
You
are
think
the same
Pittsburgh Pirates are a major force?
Well, for the wild card race, sure, absolutely.
Well,
yeah,
when I say major force, I'm talking about as one of the best teams in the game. They're clearly a factor. They're a game back. I'm talking about a major force.
Well, I don't think they're one of the best teams in the game.
Right.
But
and I don't think the Cardinals are close to one of the best teams in the game.
But we've seen where the best team's not always the one left standing.
But the point was the major force by being like a great team. And the New York Mets, despite the starting pitching, just flopping around at 500, which is, you know, super rare for defending two defending champions of their respective leagues to not be above 500 hasn't happened since 1994, the strike-shortened season. And the Cardinals have beaten good teams here. Now, the Astros are kind of struggling a little bit, but the Cubs are legitimate. And granted, the Cardinals capitalized on what the Cubs are dealing with their bullpen woes, but still, they had to be able to keep that offense in check. And after the first two debacles, they were able to do that. You'll have Wainwright tomorrow, and then Luke Weaver back out on the mound on Saturday. Encouraging to see what Losmart did yesterday.
You look at Martinez yesterday, you think, all right, the Cardinals are going to be fine. Then you think, well, Wainwright had his worst start ever, basically, in his last start. What's he going to be tomorrow? That's an important start, I think, for him. Tim, when we were talking to Derek, we talked about the fact that Wainwright, even when he's not good, tries to weave in some sort of positive message because he's an upbeat guy and he's very confident. And he was just down after that last start. So, Doug, it'll be interesting to see how Wainwright performs tomorrow night.
Mm. Based on where they are right now, and they got a little bit of a streak going, it would just be a fabulous thing if he were to go out and really light it up,
nice,
get another win, and Waino's back, and got a very soft schedule here for the next 2.5 weeks or so.
They don't string together long winning streaks, and they don't lose.
What's the longest winning streak of the year?
4 or 5,
I think.
Is
that right?
I think. But they don't lose a lot. It's just like, okay, here's the run. Nope. And then they lose badly, you think, after those first two at Wrigley. Oh, boy, here it comes. They're going to go on a little tailspin here. Nope. Cut it right off. Get back in the win column. Now, hopefully, as I asked Brandon Moss in the post game, I said, Cardinal fans want to run. Obviously, you guys want to run. And he said, what? Run? You want to go on a run.
Mm-hmm.
Then he understood.
Doug, you said something along the lines of old Abner's done it again, haven't you? And the Cardinals will have 4 in San Francisco in the middle of September.
Boy, that is funny.
And they'll have 6 against the Pirates from September 5th through the end of the season, which comes to an end on October 2nd. You know who they finish off the season against? The irate Pirate. 3 at Busch Stadium. Oh, my God. And then, of course, nobody's playing better than the Reds, and they have 4 against the Reds.
The Reds have played pretty well.
Nobody's playing better against the Reds. Then the Reds? Nurse.
Then the Reds.
The Colorado Rockies are just kind of lingering.
Yeah, they kind of took a little nosedive.
But they're, you know, game and a half back of the Mets.
Doug, do you think
Cardinals at the Mets next week?
Do you think this is part of a Cardinal run? Do you think this is it? This is the run. Is this the run, Doug?
Feels like it is. To me, it feels like this is the run. They're hitting the ball. The back end of the bullpen looks solid. They've got a very easy schedule here for whatever that is worth. It hadn't meant a lot earlier in the season.
Holder.
But if you're going to go on a run, doing it against the Phillies, a struggling Mets team, an A in Milwaukee and Cincinnati teams that just aren't very good, now it better be right now.
Devil's advocate. Every time the Cardinals do something, you think, this is the run, then something else happens. They're in Philly. They love playing on the road, obviously. The Cardinals' road record's really good. The Phillies aren't very good. What happens if the run doesn't continue?
Well, they would be in trouble. Tonight, they're facing a fellow by the name of Morgan, Adam Morgan, who's 1-7 with a 6.62 ERA.
Right.
If you can't win games like this, then you don't deserve to be in.
All right, they take two from the Cubs. They look good. They play good baseball against the Astros. Now they go into Philly. They're playing just some guy and a bad team on the road where they win. Boy, I hope it comes together for them.
Well, hell, they're on scholarship too.
They are.
And if you could figure it all out, it wouldn't be as interesting as it is. If it always went the way that you figured,
then
the way the numbers would suggest.
That's important if hot takes. Ideally, you give them after the fact on Twitter from an account with an egg avatar. Doug, head to the Lake of the Ozarks and stay at Lakeview Resort. Boat, fish, swim, or enjoy a variety of amenities, including the outdoor pool, hot tubs, and sand volleyball court. Bikini Pier has a variety of boat and wave runner rental options for you to choose from. For wintertime visitors, it's like fall time is here, but this is wintertime is here. Check out the enclosed heated fishing dock. It even has TV set up inside so you can watch the game whilst fishing.
That'd be fun to do.
Yeah. Lakeview can handle groups of all sizes. Mention you heard it here on CBS Sports 920, and you receive your third night free. For more information or to make reservations, check out LakeviewResortUSA.com. And make sure that you join us tonight at Hot Shots in O'Fallon. I mean, Charlie Marlowe, Doug Vaughn, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Iggy, the Plowhawk, Larry Nickel.
Timberfake?
Maybe Tony Lee? Maybe this guy Timberfake calls Beavis? And we're going to announce our lineup for the debut of the all-new 590 The Fan, which debuts 2 weeks from today, tonight.
That's what makes us concerned, Doug and I, because we, let's face it, we're not in ink in any of the rundowns.
No.
If we're on there, it's very pencil, much, yeah. Easily erasable.
But when you get all these people that you just mentioned all under one roof, it'll be like that, you know, We Are the World video.
Oh, I watched it this morning!
You've just assembled some of the biggest Dern stars in the industry.
Tina Turner and Kim Carnes were there.
You know, Fred Willard.
See him.
Fred Willard, I don't believe he sang. No. But he would do little cameos.
Aykroyd was
Tonight
singing,
Show.
Though. He just didn't have a solo. Most of the artists had solos.
How
and
did
they just
he
had
even
one
get
line.
In? How?
I don't know.
Well, he
Diana
sang
Ross, I don't know if she sang. She was very active in the video, but
well,
I don't
know. It could have been edited out. You know, they're
well,
they're
then you can
solos.
Hear the voice.
No, but I'm saying they're in the background, but they could have had solos that they...
Ray Charles, them. Powerful. And then the gentle, almost dainty voice of Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't appear with the rest of the singers. And I don't know why, but he was dressed up like an admiral.
He was too big to appear with the rest of
them? We don't know why. It was probably a scheduling thing with Michael.
Right. He just was hanging with Emmanuel Lewis at the time.
I haven't that read did. Enough about Michael Jackson to know if he was a really bizarre person, or if he was just shielded, or what?
What do you think, Doug? What do you think?
I don't know.
How about all the above?
Iggy, did you ever do an audio postcard with Michael Jackson?
I did not. He is too big for me.
Well, I mean,
maybe like Marlon or Tito dropped by one time.
Oh, Tito for sure.
Yeah, I've done Tito.
Yeah, he had a book out too about Michael.
Hi, Iggy.
So we talked about Michael with Tito.
Now, Doug, we go into the vault. Iggy's had all these audio postcards, and I don't know. I don't know. It just says on my sheet, audio postcard, Maggie O'Brien's Fun with Audio from Iggy. I don't know who it is. Or is this a combination? Is this a smorgasbord?
Anyone? Are you asking me? Oh, I thought you were
No, I was
teasing.
Asking. Yes. I'm sorry. You can't. I can't
is
see
it
around
a compilation?
Anybody.
This is
compilation.
What?
Yeah. It was too long to play the whole thing, but I found this when I Googled postcard because I lost the one that was in my folder.
Doug, if you just Google the word postcard, Iggy's audio pops up.
They're all over for the TMA. But this is when producer Joe was still part of the show. Non-Gay was part of the show.
Oh, the I-Bon era.
But I cut that out because it was too long. But that's from that era.
Wow, Doug, let's take a listen.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
And who better to go to than a man who just has a glow 365 days a year. We are talking about George Hamilton. George, how are you?
I learned to ride a horse out there in Kirkwood on Dyer Road. So I know the area, and there was this a god among men named Doug Vaughn. And
oh,
Doug
word.
Was always out there on Geyer Road, if I remember. Even when I was a child, he was someone I looked up to.
Jenna Elfman. Jenna, how are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
Is there somebody that you haven't met yet that you would just say, wow, I would love to meet that person?
That's a great question. I don't know if I've had enough coffee for this question. Let me think for
a... We are talking about Julie Andrews. Julie, how are you?
I'm great, Kenny. How are you today?
Your late husband, Blake Edwards, is one of my favorites. But I have to go back to SOB. It's not because of what you did in that movie. I don't know how long it took your husband to tell you, look, Mary Poppins, you need to take your top off.
Oh!
We were talking about David Koechner. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm Julie Andrews. How are you doing today?
And don't forget, we will catch up with you at Super Bowl in New Orleans. Make sure when you see that Iggy wants to sit down that you just tell Jim Rome, F off, I got to do Iggy first.
All right, looking forward to the Iggy sit down. I'm going to call it the Iggy throwdown.
Kevin James. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doug and Carrie Heffernan.
Wow.
Some of the best married couples in TV history, I think.
Can't tell you how much I appreciate that. That's insane. Believe me, and I appreciate it.
Jamie Lynn Sigler. Jamie, how are you, dear?
Hi, Iggy. I'm good.
I don't know how often you talk to Andy Sandberg, but you can tell him that the line cash or credit, I don't know, has it ever made anybody in their pants. Stacey Keebler. Stace, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
The one and only Perez Hilton. Perez, how are you, buddy?
Thank you. I am very happy to be here.
Christopher Atkins. Christopher, how are you, buddy?
Oh, it seems like you're just name-dropping.
Debbie Gibson. Debbie, how are you?
This is like, look who I've interviewed.
Who do you think was better, Playboy, though? You or her?
Well, I apparently didn't show enough, which is why they made me the pull-out cover instead of the cover.
Joan Rivers. Joan, how are you?
I'm great, and I love St. Louis.
I think you're hot. I really think you're hot. You're still hot.
Yeah, well, you're in major trouble.
No. I would bang you right now if you let me.
Yeah, well, what can I tell you?
It's a lovely Fran Drescher. Fran, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Thank you for everything you're doing with everything, too. Not just cancer and LGBT, but you're getting out there with a voice and you're helping.
Oh, Iggy.
Adrian Barbeau. Adrian, how are you, dear?
I'm great. Thank you for that introduction.
You did some nudity, but was it hard going 5 months and every night getting naked in front of live audience?
That wasn't the hard part about it. The hard part was, well, I was singing one song upside down on a raked bed, you know?
Henry Winkler. Henry, how are you?
I'm just fabulous.
The lovely Bo Derek. Bo, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you.
We are talking about Leah Thompson. Leah, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good.
Full circle. Just think when you were 21, who would have known you got naked with Tom Cruise and all the right moves?
Because that was only my second movie, so that was a million years ago.
Johnny Weir. Johnny, how are you, buddy?
How are you, Iggy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I still can't get over that we can be on the radio and we're not even in the same building.
I know. It's weird. Hey, buddy, you know I love you. Keep up the good work, and we will catch up soon.
Thank you. Love you.
The lovely Rose McGowan. Rose, how are you?
Hi, Kenny.
I'm fantastic. How are you?
True beauty in Hollywood. There's not many of those actors.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Iggy. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Talking about the father of the bride, Bruce Jenner. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing great. I got her down the aisle. It's all I had to do. We're going to have boys' night out tonight. Tonight, it's boys' night out at ballroom dancing.
We should have picked up a read there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Ann Haish. Ann, how are you?
Hey. Oh, I'm terrific. Thanks for that intro. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you're a fan.
The lovely Diane Cannon. Diane, how are you?
Hi, Iggy. What a nice welcome. Thank you so much. I'm very well. How are you?
We are talking about, and I will say, the great Eric Roberts. This is a treat for me. You're one of my all-time favorites, and when they made you available, I said, out of the hundreds of celebrities I interviewed over the last few years, this is a treat for me because you are one of my favorites.
Thank you so much. It was so nice of you to say that.
Dennis Quaid, we're looking forward to the movie. Dennis, how are you today?
Pretty good, Iggy. How are you doing?
Cheryl Hines. Cheryl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Barry Pepper. Barry, how are you?
Hi, Iggy. That's where it ended.
Doug, that's, you always end with Barry Pepper. Iggy,
the hell's Barry Pepper?
Who's Barry Pepper? He played Roger Maris.
He did, in Asterisk. Yes, he won.
All right.
Billy Crystal production.
Okay, I know who he is now.
He did a good job.
Look at that. Look at that list right there. Look at that list.
That was very impressive. And he had to cut it short.
Yeah.
I saw your friend Johnny Weir, who I know you guys love each other, on the Olympic coverage. And I think he was just there because they did a piece of him performing in Carnival. And it was the most bizarre thing I saw during the entire
Olympic. We did an interview with him on this show.
Yeah, just on Tuesday.
No, you were in Houston. We had
Carnival.
We didn't talk about that. I did ask about the seed. Is he married, Iggy, or has he got a boyfriend? What's going on with him?
Well, he got married and then got divorced.
And they argued over a cat or something, didn't they?
That and a Fabergé egg, I think, was the big sticking point.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I don't know if he's dating or not now.
Because I was wondering if he was like going out in Rio and, you know. Mm.
Why was he so amazed that he could actually appear on the radio and not be in the same building? I mean, he's heard of the telephone.
He can be weird sometimes.
No. But he seems like a nice guy, though.
I mean, all of these people, they're familiar with you. It's amazing.
No, most of them.
Yeah, see, Doug?
And you still have all those phone numbers somewhere?
I have a lot of those, but a lot of them I don't. They're set up, and they got something to promote. I put them on, and the handler says, you're on with Iggy, and they say, hi, Iggy, and they just call me Iggy during the interview. They don't really know me.
They remember the name, though.
So I disagree. I think you guys have partied together, you and Diane Cannon.
Have you ever met Johnny Weir? I mean, you guys do seem like fast friends.
No, I've never met him in person.
He would like to meet you, though.
I would really like to meet him.
Yeah.
But you got to meet Lady Gaga, didn't you?
I did meet Lady Gaga.
Is that the highlight of your career?
Without a doubt, yes.
That's nice.
Have you talked to her lately?
I talk to her assistant all the time. Her assistant just sent me a Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga Cheek to Cheek CD signed by both of them for Gobble Bowl.
Oh, Gobble Bowl.
Nice. How was Lady Gaga? Normal?
Yeah, how much time did you spend with her?
20 minutes.
Wow, really? Where was this, at Scott Trade?
Yeah, 2013.
Doug, it was 2013, Cardinals and Dodgers.
Yeah, it was me, a friend of mine, Sue Swanson, and six kids that were probably about 14. And we look like their grandparents back there hanging out.
And she sat there with you guys for 20 minutes?
Yeah, you and I, or her and I, talked about her foundation.
Right.
Meghan Meyer Foundation. She asked how I liked the show, and we talked about her boyfriend, Taylor Kinney. And
they just broke up, didn't they? Or they were engaged
with them? Yeah, I don't know if they're getting back together, but they kind of called it off for now.
Doug, are they getting back together?
I don't think so. Opening for you, Iggy.
No, she's a little too young for me. Well, I'm not too young. She's not too young for me. I'm a little too old for her.
Well,
what is she like? Is she like 30 or 31 now?
I think she just turned 30.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, it was fun. And she
sick talent, huh? Sick talent.
She really is.
She was very down to earth and very, very warm. And I made her cry, so it was a good night.
You made her cry? How'd you make her cry?
He played the.
I just said something.
Played one of his postcards.
Yeah.
Played the Fran Drescher over and over.
I tell you, I'm back here crying not because I think the interviews are funny, because you guys laughing are making me laugh.
Some of those laughs were from when we were listening to it the first time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was listening to my hideously annoying laugh.
And at the end of that, I cut it out because it was something I found online, because I couldn't find the one I had in my folder. And it was Non-Gay, and producer Joe was there. And I found out who outed me on Leona Helmsley.
Who narked, baby?
It was Non-Gay.
How did the non-gay know?
I just told him in just one day sitting in the studio.
I banged Leona Helmsley.
And then he brought it up on the air after that.
Think
after
the Blues are
going to
go get a defenseman?
He said something, and he goes, oh, you know, he told me he banged Leona Helmsley.
Oh, wow. You got to respect the omerta, nonling.
You didn't want that out there.
Counselor.
Well, it's not something I'm proud of, but now everybody knows. Now it's a little running joke. I don't care.
Was it good, though, honestly? Like,
no.
No, I mean, I don't know, because sometimes in that situation, she might be like, thank God, this might be my last one, so it's running good.
No, she lay there like a fish.
Perfect.
She had an awfully big mouth.
Mm.
She bought me a gold chain, though, so I was all right.
Did she?
Nice.
Queen
of Maine?
The
cat looks like you just bit into a lemon. What's the problem?
I just got a visual.
I think it's hot.
How do you think I felt?
could anybody tell me about the post sports bar and grill? I was talking about the wing of the cat wheel.
Oh, I can. Tim, you know I love the wings, right?
Of course.
I do, too.
I
love the cheesesteaks. And, of course, you know I love the sports. Now, imagine a place where I can get all those together, and that is the Post Sports Bar and Grill. And right now, the Post is teaming up with the Draft Night for a premium draft experience. You book your fantasy season ticket online today. The benefits include electronic draft board, mobile draft app, free draft hostess, commissioner, and champions kit, and an in-season pizza and pitcher party, which is nice to have. Inside STL listeners, enter promo code DRAFTPOST for $20 off the Post Sports Bar and Grill on Manchester and Maplewood in the new location in Creve Coeur at Olive and Old Ballas. And don't forget to stay posted, my friend.
Time for email today. Hey, at Who Movie Bastards of Wehrenberg Theaters. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was between rectal gerbil removal surgeries when I ran into a time crunch, and I wanted to get your take. As I stripped, teased off me scrubs, I sauntered into the shower where I intended to wash my taut, rewarding little boy parts in less than 3 minutes before my next scheduled appointment in the operating room. All of a sudden, as I slathered myself with soap and shamp, you like that?
I don't like, what is shamp? Shampoo?
Yeah.
Shamp.
I felt the urge to wee like the Dickens. I didn't have time to leave the shower and sit down on the commode like I normally do, so I let the shower turn into a warm, shallow lemonade pool.
No.
What say you, Doug? Should I have instead respected the shower proper and sat on the toilet with a warm, drenched... Thanks in advance. Peace be with a lot of you. That's from Dr. Woody Bender.
Dr. Woody Bender. Don't go in the shower. Other people are using the shower. You go to the bathroom.
Guys, Plops here. Honey of a call from Timber Snoot this morning. Lots of things learned. First off, if you show up at someone's place of business unannounced, you can say you were hanging there, out there with said person. For example, I show up on the parking lot of Channel 4 later today. Tomorrow I can brag to my twink housekeeper that, yeah, me, Doug, Laura Hediger, and Savard were kicking it last night down at Channel 4. Seems fair. Also, he once illegally purchased a Snoop Dogg CD, and his parents tore it up because they were so mad. Finally, if you and a friend visit a casino together, it's best practice to make your friend ride in the back seat whilst you drive. And finally, if you're in your 30s and you still smoke weed, for God's sakes, videotape that nonsense and snap it like the Dickens. Lot to soak up. I'm going to take off my clothes and think about it a little for a bit. Thanks. Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Fellas, forget about hanging in Hedo. There's a new film that's chubbing the pervs these days. It's called Squirtin' in Sunset Hills. It begins with Scott Baio feeling confused and vulnerable after learning Crestwood Mall's been shuttered. What will he do with all those gift cards from Sparrow and Claire's? Enter Meatloaf, wielding saran wrap. He plays the role of a bear who's down for O.T. Hodges, followed by some mild scat play. After getting his blues tickled away and taking a well-needed bath, Baio has an idea strike him like a bolt of lightning. Head to Johnny's Market to see if anybody needs a pivot man. No way that moldy produce shack's fallen victim to tough economic times. The rest of the tale isn't FCC appropriate, so if you want to catch the ending, there will be a private viewing tonight held at the Stratford Inn and projected on the producer's forehead. Your pal, Deuces and Chum. Doug, Deuces and Chum.
Deuces and Chum.
I like it.
He's new. And Johnny's Market has been leveled. It's no longer there, fellas.
Isn't that like Lindbergh something now? Like a Lindbergh school thing? Isn't
it? They're going to build a school district offices on that site, there but there's nothing there at the moment.
My dad loved shopping at Johnny's. I don't know why. He would drive from South City to Johnny's.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. Yeah.
What'd they have there? What made
just
it?
Just a small family. Kind of
old school. Kind of like taking a trip back in time, like with Tony Dow. Tony Dow?
We miss that. Used to walk there.
A young starlet sat in her bay window, staring out at the night sky and the beautiful San Fernando Valley. Did we read this yesterday, Plowhawk? We read this yesterday. It's from Jill Cassidy's stepdad, David. He won yesterday.
Yes, he did. He tried to send the same email again to try to win again.
I guess he did. Usually, Cucky, I don't need to...
Oh, my God, Doug's ripping it up.
You don't send the same email 2 days in a row because you won the previous day.
Doug, you had enough.
Yeah, discard that.
Wow.
Never seen you more angry. Morning, fellas. I would just like to say that I really enjoyed the interview with Jill Cassidy yesterday. It was truly enlightening and a class piece of journalistic excellence. But I had one problem with it while I was listening to it in the shower while doing other things. Charlie's a creepy dude. His fake being outraged was just plain odd. Also, he started half of his questions with a disclaimer, I'm being honest here, or in all seriousness. I thought this interview was serious, so Chuck didn't need to say that before we questioned. I would imagine that his fiancée wouldn't be too pleased with that, unless she wants their own version of a sugar baby, but that may be tough. Under Charlie's salary at the
I don't really understand
don't
where
know.
It's going.
It's not, Doug,
how did you enjoy that?
Leave the families out of it. There's just a little tip. And Plowhawk, when you see people bring up people's families,
that's just kind of a... Doug, how did you enjoy
that? I get caught off guard and all of a sudden I'm reading something about Charlie's fiancé and his salary. Charlie's doing fine for himself, I assure you.
Doug, did you enjoy the interview with the what do you call it?
Jill Cassidy, the Bomber O'Brien's up-and-coming adult film star. Right.
I just couldn't tell if she had gone to Princeton or Dartmouth by her accent.
And you, by the end, you thought Dartmouth.
I was leaning
that
way.
And was Tim giggling and totally in awe?
We did 45 minutes with Jill
Did you really?
45 minutes.
And she didn't say anything over like four or five words long.
And Tim was like, interesting.
Provocative. Hadn't thought of that. Tales from Me Secret Journal. Late night last night, my power top kept ignoring my safe word. I kept yelling, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Then all of a sudden, Michael Keaton appeared and joined in. So basically, I got Eiffel Towered by Batman and my LeBaron-loving hunk. All in all, not a bad night, and I should probably change my safe word. Or should I? Teehee, love you, boo. Toodles, AJ from St. Jay. It's a fun little email.
AJ from St. Jay with a fun little email.
Guys, I wasn't able to listen to the Jill Cassidy interview yesterday, but I was able to find the transcript. Here are some highlights. Like, yeah, Like, yeah, like, I didn't want to do girl stuff, but then she showed up. So, like, yeah, I just, like, did it. Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, into women's stuff as far as politics go. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, waffle fries are the best. No, wait, I like Whataburger fries. Like, yeah, those are my favorite. Plowsy discusses his love for a male porn star by saying he likes his longevity, which is code for his you-know-what. Seriously, though, that was the best interview in the show's history. Good talk, Russ. Good talk, Doug. That's from Not the Happy Days Potsy.
Not the Happy Days Potsy.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And finally.
That's the last one.
Boys, tonight is the night. The boys from TMA finally come home to Illinois. What a night it'll be. We have Beer Cats. We have Lady Beer Cats. We have Raybo. We have Raybo's Living in Sin female friend. A guy named Fish. And Big Bocephus coming your way. Can you imagine that crew? I mean, the sex show tonight will be something special. Combine the sexiness that we are bringing from Oakville with Larry Nickel and Timberfake. Holy moly cockatoli. If I can keep my wife's hands off of Doug and Charlie and keep Larry's hands off my wife and my hands off of Tim, I think we're all in for a hashtag blessed night. Looking forward to it, boys. Stay cute. Beer Cat.
Beer Cats.
And that's what we have for the email of the day. What you got to eat?
I thought it was an awful batch, if I'm being totally honest. So I'm going to go with Deuces and Chum because I like the name. I can't even remember what he wrote.
It was about Johnny's Market and Scott Baio.
Yeah, he kind of localized things for me. That's so fun, I have to go for Deuces and Chum.
Deuces and Chum, you have just won the email of the day. Doug, we are now at halftime of our radio for August 18th, 2016.
I don't like when you put it that way, Tim.
Yeah.
Three more hours to go, and they get underway at 6:30 tonight at Hot Shots in O'Fallon. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Charlie will be there. Doug, the Cat, myself, Larry Nickel, Timberfake, maybe Tony Lee, maybe Beavis.
Freddie Brathwaite will be there.
We will announce the new 590. The Fan lineup will be debuting there on September 1st. The Plowhawk's going to be in attendance. Apparently, Beer Cats and Raybo are going to be there, and Big Bocephus, Doug, they'll all be there.
Bocephus is going to be there.
That's right. So there's a whole lot going on. It comes your way tonight at 6:30 at Hot Shots in O'Fallon. Come by, won't you? And then you'll hear the show tomorrow from 7 to 10. It's going to be TMA Live, Hot Shots, O'Fallon. Frank Cusimano's up next. The Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff from Frank. From us to Frank. It's next here on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM. For Matt, for the Plow Astro, for my brother Kevin, for Iggy filling in for the Seamaster, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and inside STL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.